is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
No way!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bigney.
When you think about the word fasting, what comes to your mind? What picture comes to your mind? Do you think of someone strange? Legalistic, someone who never laughs or smiles, someone gaunt and sickly? Do you think of mystics or Eastern religions, Gandhi or the Dalai Lama? Well, today we're going to talk about why you should consider fasting and praying about your marriage. I'm Brad Bigney, and you're listening to Thrive. And we've been digging into what God gave us leading up to that Ephesians 5 marriage passage and after that passage. And I've been telling you that if you'll read your Bible in a different kind of way, as in don't just zero in on the passage that tells you what you think you want to know, back it up and stretch it out. Look at what was leading up to that passage and look at what continues to be said after the passage, and you will get so much more of what God intended for us to get. And so we began looking at what leads up to the marriage passage, submitting to one another, laying aside your rights, being filled with the Spirit, cultivating gratitude. And now we've been talking about what comes after that marriage passage. Spiritual warfare, that there is a war. There is an enemy, and it's not your spouse. We have a very real enemy. And so Paul says that we are to pray at all times in the Spirit with all supplication. But now I want you to think about, because Jesus said in Mark 9:24, some things only come about through prayer and fasting. I think marriage would apply and would fit in that category, because Satan comes after it relentlessly. Think about how many marriages are exploding, blowing up, or even if they're not blown up, they're just not thriving. They are barely alive, even though they're, you know, the husband and wife are both Christians, but it's still barely alive. And in most cases, it falls so short of what they had hoped for, what they expected, what they had dreamed about. So let's talk about it. Why should you consider fasting for your marriage? Well, it might surprise some of you, but did you realize you should fast because God expects you to be fasting? That's right. I know it's not a big part of our American culture. There are other places in the world where Christians have not forgotten about this, in South Korea and other places, but here's what you need to get a hold of. You should fast because God expects you to be fasting. You say, Brad, why do you say that? Well, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:7-8, Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 3, he says this, when you do a charitable deed. In verse 5, he says, when you pray. And in verse 17, he says, when you fast. Have you ever considered that he puts those things forward as if they're all equal? We tend to say, well, I'm going to give and I'm going to pray, but I'm not going to fast. Jesus talked as if all three of these should be a regular part of our Christian life. When, not if, when you do a charitable deed, when you pray, when you fast. He lumps fasting right in there with things we're still doing. So why not this? We're giving, we're praying, why not fasting? Jesus assumes that you'll be fasting just like you'd be giving and praying, and so he gives instructions about what to do and not do with each. It's even clearer in Matthew chapter 9, verse 14, 15, then the disciples of John came to Jesus, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. What days is he talking about? the days will come when my followers will fast. That's right now, you guys. That's today. Today's that day he was talking about. He said, when the bridegroom is not with them, they will miss him. They will long for him. They will yearn for him. They will cry out to him. That is today. John Piper does this. I love John Piper. And he has some good explanations on fasting. He relates fasting to being homesick for God. I think that's a good analogy. He says, the birthplace of Christian fasting is homesickness for God. In the summer of 1967, I had been in love with Noelle for a whole year. If you'd told me that when we have to wait another year and a half to marry, I would have protested firmly. It was the summer before my senior year in college. I was working as a water safety instructor at a Christian athletic camp in South Carolina, and she was hundreds of miles away working as a waitress. Never had I known an aching like this one. I'd been homesick before, but never like this. Every day I would write her a letter and talk about this longing. In the late morning, just before lunch, there would be mail call. When I heard my name and saw the lavender envelope, my appetite would be taken away. Or more accurately, my hunger for food was silenced by the hunger of my heart. Often, instead of eating lunch with the campers, I would take that letter to a quiet place in the woods and sit down on the leaves for a different kind of meal. Now, I hope you're not struggling saying, hey, Brad, you're getting off track now. Why are we talking about fasting? Bring it back to marriage. Oh, listen to me. These two things are related. Your relationship with your Savior and your relationship with your spouse are hugely related. They impact each other. So if you are longing for your Savior and you are homesick for somewhere greater and better outside of this world, it will enable you to let up on your spouse and not need as much. So yes, this longing for your Savior truly matters. And as you long for him, you should learn how to pray and fast to him about your marriage. I don't know about you, but I could absolutely relate to what John Piper's talking about there. I'm old enough now that, yeah, we didn't have cell phones, we didn't have computers, there weren't texts, there weren't emails. And so back when I was in love with Vicky, and I was doing my student teaching in Roanoke, Virginia, living with another guy, I was teaching 11th graders the book of Ephesians, and I was teaching seniors the life of Christ. And we're writing letters back and forth. Oh my goodness, I would long for those letters. I would wait for a letter. And the cool thing about letters that you can't do with an email is she would sometimes press a little flower inside there, or she would mist the envelope with some of her perfume. Just special little stuff. I took a string of yarn and I hung it from one corner of my bedroom to the other, and as letters arrived, I would clip them to that string with clothespins. And just, I treasured those letters, but here's what my students learned. They knew how much I treasured those letters as well. So there was an area where the teachers all had little cubbies or mailboxes, and they were open. They didn't have lids and they weren't locked. But they began to recognize how much this meant to me, and my students would go down there and see if there was a letter from Vicky in my box, and they'd take it. And so when I went down on lunch hour to see if I had mail, I would find nothing but a little note that would say, go to the back of such and such teacher's car, the biology teacher's car, and look underneath the license plate. I'd have to run all the way out in the parking lot, look behind the license plate, only to find another note that would say, go to the soccer field and go to the west end and look under the water cooler. And I would get there only to find another note that would say, go to the biology lab upstairs and look inside the iguana cage and dig down in the gravel. You get the idea. And I would spend my entire lunch hour chasing down a letter from Vicky. But it was worth it. I had no regrets. I would give up food because I longed to hear from her. That's what fasting is about, that we long for something. If your greatest desire and longing is for your spouse and there's nothing greater, you're already in trouble. For you to love your spouse well, you actually need to long for someone else more and get to know him more and be looking to him more. So, number one, why fast about and pray about your marriage? Because he actually expects us to be fasting. When you fast. When you fast. Let me give you another reason you should fast about your marriage. You should fast because fasting sharpens your senses to hear from God. We need to hear from God in our marriage. We don't just need to hear each other. We do. But we need to hear from God in the midst of that marriage. I need to hear from him. I need insights from him. I need him to convict me. I need him to prompt me. I need him to encourage me. I need him to unravel confusing points in my heart and mind. I need him to expose my sinful heart and selfishness. I need him to put his finger on things and say, Brad, that right there, not good. Not good. Fasting sharpens your senses to hear from God. I need to hear from God. I mean, you thought you needed to hear from God as a single person. You really need to hear from God as you get married, because once you get married, it just gets noisier. There's two people now. There's a lot of words being used. There's a lot of expectations. There's a lot of desires. A lot came together under that roof. You got to still be hearing from God. All right. We're talking about how your marriage could thrive. And part of that is that you would begin to pray specifically and consider even fasting and praying for your marriage. When we come back, we're going to dig into it some more, and I'm going to help you understand what you could expect from fasting and prayer.
And we'll be back with more from Pastor Brad Bigney in just a moment. And Brad made a really good, poignant point about going to war with our spouses. He said, your spouse is not the enemy. And that's so true, but we tend to forget that when problems arise in our marriages. There is a resource that I want to recommend to you that will help you walk through these tumultuous times in your marriage. It's called The Peacemaker by Ken Sandy. It kind of dovetails perfectly with what Brad's talking about today. And he talked about fasting helping us see our own sin clearly. And Sandy helps you move past just resolving conflicts in your marriage to actually experiencing life-changing reconciliation. And if we're honest, when we're in the heat of conflict in our marriage, peacemaking is usually not our first response, but that's why I love just how practical Ken Sandy is in this book. He gives such good, practical, biblical wisdom for turning conflicts into opportunities for growing closer to each other and to God. And hey, look, speaking of biblical wisdom, have you thought about becoming a Fortis Insider? Or have you even heard about becoming a Fortis Insider? We want you to do that, and you can do it right now at FortisInstitute.org. I know it sounds fancy, and it kind of is fancy, but it is free as well. When you sign up and give us your email address, that means 5 days a week, you're going to get fresh content delivered right to your inbox about marriage and parenting and theology and what it means to be a man in today's culture. The stuff that really matters, the stuff that you really need to know about. Plus, you're going to be the first to hear about our free webinars. While you're at it, while you're at FortisInstitute.org, we want you to take a look at the Fortis Plus app. You can link to it from FortisInstitute.org, or you can download the Fortis Plus app right directly to your Android or Apple mobile device. It's completely free, and it gives you access to 7 new pieces of content every single day. We're living in challenging times. We all know that. And biblical wisdom for just living in this world right now is desperately needed. And that's why we've brought together voices to help you know how to live in this brave new world. But in order to produce all of the content that we've been producing, we depend on our gospel partners. And so if you would prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner, we would be eternally grateful. All you have to do is log on to FortisInstitute.org and learn more about what it would look like in your life to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. All of the answers to all of the questions you could possibly have can be found right there at FortisInstitute.org. And now let's get back to Pastor Brad Bigney as he continues to discuss fasting in our marriages. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
Welcome back. We've been talking about something that so many American Christians don't even think about. In fact, they might think it's strange. Fasting, and praying. And so I'm helping you understand why you should consider fasting and praying for your marriage. We said, number one, Jesus actually expects that we will be fasting. He said in Matthew 6, when you fast. We said, secondly, you should fast because fasting sharpens your senses to hear God. You never need more of hearing from God and getting insights from God than when you are in the midst of a marriage with one other sinner. But let me give you a third reason to consider fasting and praying. You should fast because fasting shows that you're desperate for God's help. Oh, I know we live in the land of resources galore. There are marriage books, there are marriage seminars, there are marriage video series. But listen to me, a book, a seminar, a conference cannot do what God could do. Fasting shows that you're desperate for God's help. You see, our sin nature makes us so prideful and self-sufficient. Self-sufficiency is one of our biggest downfalls. We want to be autonomous. We want to be self-sufficient. We do not like being dependent on God. Fasting is at the other end of that spectrum. Fasting unashamedly says, God, I don't have what I need. Absolutely. I don't have the power. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have the resources. Oh God, would you help? I need your help. Isaiah chapter 31, verse 1 shows us the contrast of what often we're guilty of. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because there are many and in horsemen because they're very strong, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel nor seek the Lord. Woe! God's saying to some of you today, slow down, stop, ask me for help. You could insert instead of Egypt, we've got the internet. I just Googled that. Instead of horses and chariots, you could insert, we've got vast resources. We've got Amazon with millions of books. We've got access to friends through all kinds of social media where I can just pour my heart out to someone. But listen to me, fasting shows that you're desperate for God's help and what He could do in your marriage. Number four, let me give you another reason why you should consider fasting and praying for your marriage. You should fast because fasting clarifies and exposes your own sin. Oh, that might not sound like good news at first, but you realize we don't just pray and fast because we want God to change things outside of us and other people around us. We fast and pray because, oh, ho, 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 God can show you more of who you really are and what's inside you. That's right. See, fasting is a tool that can expose the desires that are controlling you, inside you, that James 4 was talking about. We go to war because of these internal desires. In other words, fasting can bring to the surface things that lie deep and dormant in our hearts. But fasting, as you hunger and as you set aside food, I hope you know a little bit about fasting, but if you don't, let me tell you one of the biggest pluses that I find in fasting. When my belly is not full and my blood has not gushed to my stomach, I have mental alertness and clarity like never before. During times of fasting, I feel like I get insights and clarity. I might feel a little weaker. I might move a little slower physically, but oh, on a spiritual level, it's sharp, sharp. And one of the things I've seen happen in my own life is that He shows me more of what's inside of me. In his chapter on fasting and the celebration of discipline, Richard Foster says this, more than any other discipline, fasting reveals the things that control us. This is a wonderful benefit to the true disciple who longs to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. We cover up what is inside of us with food and other things. Then he goes on to say, if pride controls us, it will be revealed almost immediately. David said, I humbled my soul with fasting. Anger, bitterness, jealousy, strife, fear, if they are within us, they will surface during fasting. At first, we'll rationalize that our anger is due to our hunger. And then we know we are angry because the spirit of anger is within us. We can rejoice in this knowledge because we know that healing is available through the power of Christ. You realize a marriage is comprised of two people, husband and wife, but there's only one person you can actually change. Say it. You. Raise your hand and say, me. you can actually, by God's grace and by His Spirit, do something about you. So anything God shows you about you is pretty exciting, because you're like, all right, this isn't going to be fun. I wish I wasn't seeing that. I wish it wasn't true about me. But since He has revealed it, there's something I can do something about. I can work on this by His grace. Oh, listen, in my own life, so many times it was during a day of fasting that God would make me aware of specific sins. He would make them so clear to me. I always take a notepad with me on days of prayer and fasting, because inevitably, He'll encourage me and give me excitement about future ideas and ministry options, etc., sure. But I'll take a notepad also, because He will throw the floodlight on the internal dark crevices and places in my own heart and show me things that I hadn't been seeing. You realize you do not grow in intimacy with God or get insights about yourself in the fast lane. You got to slow down. You've got to slow down. And praying and fasting slows you down. Because I hope you realize, as I'm encouraging you to consider fasting, it doesn't mean you just press through your day like normal and you don't eat and now you've got another hour that you could work instead of eating lunch. Oh, no, 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 no. When I'm fasting and praying, I take the time that I would have used preparing a breakfast and eating it to pray. I take the time that I would have used preparing lunch and eating it to pray. And I take the time I would have used preparing and eating dinner and pray. Look what just happened to my day. I've had more time, unhurried. I call it unhurried time in the presence of God. To, yes, say, oh, God, would you work in our marriage? Oh, God, would you please break through? But God, show me what I'm not seeing about me. And, oh, I think it's a prayer that God loves too. So often I hear Christians say, oh, prayer doesn't work, Pastor Brad. It just doesn't work. And what they mean is name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. I told God exactly what I wanted and when I wanted it, and it didn't happen. Yeah, that doesn't work. Prayer was never designed to work that way. But when you say, God, I want to know you. I want to spend time in your presence. Show me more of you, and then show me more of me in light of you. What am I not seeing about me? Let me give you a verse you can pray to get this going. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there be any anxious thoughts in me, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Show me what I'm not seeing about me. But you might be saying, now, Brad, fasting's new to me. I've heard of this, but I've never done it. How would I get started? Well, let me give you some suggestions. Listen, if you are pregnant, on medication, have any health concern, you should check with your physician before you begin fasting. But let me tell you what it can look like. You realize you can fast a meal each day. You could fast a meal each week. Say, I'm going to fast every Tuesday for lunch. My wife has done that for years in praying for some of our prodigal kids that still don't know the Lord, fasting a meal every Tuesday. You could fast for 2 or 3 days in a row. You realize you can fast more than food. You could fast TV, videos, and movies. You could do a computer phone fast. Fasting is basically removing myself from the normal routine of what consumes me so that I can focus more on God, crying out to Him and listening to Him. One of the things that consumes us today is social media. Take a information media fast and pray and see what God does. It's an excellent idea. Kevin Miller says this. He says, it is important to recognize that information must not only be managed, but also dethroned. At least one day a week, we must rest from gathering information, just as the ancient Israelites rested from gathering wood. We must still our racing minds and rest our information-soaked souls. By so doing, we declare that humans cannot live by information alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If you want to study more about fasting, check out these resources. If you want to read a book about it, you can do no better than John Piper's A Hunger for God, Desiring God Through Prayer and Fasting. But if you want a short booklet that's practical, that would help you know, how would I get this going? Order the little booklet by Bill Bright that's titled Seven Basic Steps to Fasting and Prayer. Bill Bright, Seven Basic Steps to Fasting and Prayer. Very practical. Oh, this is Thrive, and we're talking about how we can take our marriages from dead or barely alive to thrive for the glory of God. And part of that is that we need to come back to praying and even fasting about our marriage. Hey, I'm Brad Bigney, and you're listening to Thrive.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.